style in the world. I'm John Batts with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend. We welcome Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who's traveling and helping us follow a story that is far away and at the same time immediate. This has to do with the Compact of Free Association. Three sovereign states in Oceania, the vast Pacific, that are stepping stones between Wahoo, which is the headquarters of the Indo-PACOM, to the Philippines, onto Asia. Bang, bang, bang. They are the Marshall Islands, Federated States of Micronesia, and Palau. Bang, bang, bang. They are due a update by the U.S. Congress having to do with money and pledge of security. That update, I understand, was originally in the bill that we now consider to be the compromise bill about the border, about funds for Ukraine, funds for Israel, funds for the border. That compromise bill out of the U.S. Senate. Except, Cleo, a very good evening to you. Thank you. When last we spoke, we were waiting for the House to move on the bill that included money and pledge of security for the Compact of Free Association. Now the emphasis in Washington is on the Senate bill, which remains contested, but that's the nature of making sausage. However, what about the Compact of Free Association? Where is that? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So it was in that that Senate draft that you mentioned, along with the border, Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel. And at some point in the two or three days before it was put out publicly, it got taken out, and we don't know why. So that means that it currently has no legislative home at all. And in the House side, they did put forward, of course it failed, the standalone bill for Israel, but there was no standalone bill for the compact. So as of now, it's the renewal of the financial and services components of the compacts. They've been negotiated over several years. They're essential for just basic things in the three countries that have signed these deep relationships with the U.S. for things like paying teachers and keeping the lights on and in government buildings and just basic survival. You know, the U.S. talks about security from a aircraft carrier perspective. For the people of the region, security means having electricity and being able to go to school and have functioning hospitals. So their security and U.S. security are both tied up in these packages, because the longer it takes for the U.S. to deliver on its promises, the more time China has to get in on the ground, as they've been doing now for years, but now they've really got the proof for it to say, you're really not important to the U.S. We'll give you all the money up front right now if you just walk away from Taiwan in the case of Marshalls and Palau, and ultimately break away from your relationship with the U.S.
This is the game of Oceania between Beijing and Washington underway. Gordon, you have a question for Cleo.
Leo, was there Chinese influence in the dropping of these financial services provisions from the Senate bill?
That is beyond my pay grade. I can tell you that in the countries themselves, the amounts of Chinese money on the ground are very, very large. In the case of the Federated States of Micronesia, most recently we've heard that China has offered about $100 million worth of infrastructure directly to the federal government, $20 million for them, and then $20 million for each of the four states. So if you're thinking of that amount of money for one country in one sector, you can only imagine the amount of money that the PRC would be willing to spread around other locations to, like Washington, where you could kill all three in one go.
Cleo, you have taught me that these security promises made by the United States are critical not only to the countries receiving them, but also to the defense of the Indo-PACOM, that China interrupting just one of these sovereign states would mean that there was no easy route for resupply in the event of catastrophe in East Asia. Is all that information available to Congress? Do they understand the scale of threat here?
There have been hearings, and there have been some congressional offices that have been excellent on it. I think, you know, there's a lot going on in D.C. at the moment. And it's always difficult in D.C. to know what gets past the staffer level to the actual leadership. But it's not just a U.S. issue. This is 80 years ago, the U.S. was losing men at a heartbreaking rate going across these islands. You know, you've got, this is Marshall Islands, Kwajalein, Truk Lagoon is Federated States of Micronesia, Palau is the Battle of Peleliu. That's all, 2024 is the 80th anniversary of all of those. And the reason that they had to do that was to push the U.S. defense perimeter out, and then to contain Japan and ultimately defeat Japan. If this corridor doesn't exist, you can't get troops to Japan. You can't get them to South Korea. Obviously, you can't get to Taiwan, at least not safely and easily. So it affects the security of the entire Indo-Pacific.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Cleo, has the Defense Department actually weighed in on this?
That's a very good question, because the original reason it didn't get into the National Defense Authorization Act, for example, was there was an offset required, which means that there would have been $2.3 billion that needed to be found somewhere in some other budget in order to put it towards this, because under the House Republican rules, you can't put in new money. It has to come from somewhere else. $2.3 billion to cover three countries for 20 years. It came out to about $40 million per country per year. And nobody, including the Defense Department, stepped up to find that money.
Cleo, you've told me the story of Palau and tourism from the mainland. At one point, it was very low, and then it skyrocketed. What is the status of tourism now from the mainland?
Right, sure. So it was actually very direct. China built up the tourism sector from under 1% to over 50% the last time that there were problems with congressional funding, and then pulled it all, saying it's not coming back unless you de-recognize Taiwan. It currently is building back up again. We're seeing almost daily direct flights from Macau to Palau. Now, Macau is not the place you want direct flights to be coming from. That's not kind of a normal family tourist sort of location. And we're already starting to see major criminal activity on the ground linked to that, right? Potentially. Four Chinese have been arrested for killing another Chinese just in December. And that Chinese that was murdered was a boat operator. And apparently it's not quite clear yet, but vast amounts of drugs involved. So the amount of money and organized crime and destabilizing activity going on in Palau is rapidly increasing. And it's not coincidentally, there's an election there in November, and the current president of Palau has been holding the line, but there's a lot of money going around to people who have a very different view of Palau's future. And you can see a hint of that in the way that the Palau Senate has passed a resolution saying that they don't want U.S. Patriot missile batteries emplaced in Palau.
Cleo Pascal, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Gordon Chang, I'm John Nash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,